Oh, actually, we appreciate Raymond for your participation. It's actually matching our theme. And we also appreciate Pastor Daniel for his analogy of the moth. It's approaching the light. Now, remember, whenever the moth is actually rushing into the light, what is the outcome to the moth? You know what happened to the moth? When a moth is actually rushing towards the light, what is the outcome of the moth? Do you know what happened? Hey? Yeah, it will die. It will actually die. I saw it. When the moth towards the light at the end, the outcome, and I want you to understand that when you run through into the light of Jesus Christ, we are going to die. But after you die, what happened to us? You were resurrected. Okay? So that's a good analogy this morning. And I do hope that when you go back to your home, you probably still have that giant moth at your home. Right, Ruby? Are you scared of moth? No, you're not. Neither do I, actually. But anyway, this is a good analogy. So we will be talking about the main theme of today. It's what is worship, okay? What is worship? Now, this is extremely, brother and sister, this is extremely important. The reason why you're sitting right here, is for the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why. There's no other reason, okay? You're not playing with your mobile device. You're not playing with any other thing. And it's just focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were given the definition of worship, what would you say? Now, I went to London a couple of years ago. I noticed that there's a call a Westminster Catechism. Is that the ultimate end of mankind is to enjoy and knowing God, is to enjoy God. So I personally find that if you were given to a definition of worship, I would say is to enjoy the presence of God. Now, you just put it in a sentence, okay? The meaning of worship is to enjoy the presence of God. Does it make sense? It makes sense, right? So he is actually right now with us, is to enjoy his presence. Now, I'm going to ask you a very, very personal question, okay? Extremely personal question. Do you know God? Do you know him? Now, I'm not asking you to whether you know about God, but I'm asking you, do you know him personally? Do you know him personally? Now, you may know about our Prime Minister. Who is he? Elliot Trudeau. Okay? And tomorrow is the day of federal election, as Pastor Daniel mentioned about. You know about him, but how many of you actually know him personally? Can I see someone? Personally. How many of you actually see him in person right in front of you? How many of you ever seen our Prime Minister actually right in front of you? Not on the TV, okay? Not on the TV, but see him where were you? Ottawa? Praise God. So, do you know him personally? Have you shook hands with him? There you go. Now, but today, after the sermon today, okay, I want you to know our Lord Jesus Christ, not just about him, the fact that I want you to know him in person. Not only shaking his hand, but you have to know his mind. What he's thinking about. What is his thinking pattern of Jesus Christ? Now, this is very important, okay? So, this worship is all about enjoying the presence of God. Okay? This is enjoying the presence of God. And to be honest with you, Not many Christians have a conscious presence of God. They're always aware. How many of you actually constantly, now this is extremely important, I want to see some hands, okay? You're constantly aware of God's presence in your life. Can you see someone? You constantly, 1, 2, 3. That's all. And we have about 20 people here, and it's less than 5 or 10%, less than 10%. 20 people, 10% is about 2. It's about 10% of you constantly aware of His presence. And I want you to, after this sermon, I want you to develop your life to be constantly enjoying His presence. Constantly. Now that's an extremely important experience in our life, okay? There's many people, they're not just not aware of His presence, okay? They're actually, you know what? They don't really care. They don't really care about God's presence. Now, this is the month of Thanksgiving. In Romans chapter 1, it said, they don't serve Him as God. They don't even thank Him as God. The word thanksgiving means you're giving Him glory, giving Him offer, giving Him respect, giving Him reverence, okay? So they don't, not only they are not aware of His presence, but they don't even thank Him, okay? Now there are four types of people in this world regarding to Thanksgiving, okay? This is a month of Thanksgiving. The first type of people is the fact that they are constantly complaining. They're constantly complaining. How many of you actually aware, are actually around that kind of person? They constantly complain about people, okay? I know a couple, and a man who is actually that type of attitude, they're constantly complaining, okay? And the wife tried to please him, and one morning the wife said, honey, I'm going to prepare breakfast for you just the way you want, anything that you want. And the husband said, all right, try to do that. And then I'm going to ask you to have 2 toasts, okay, 1 white bread and 1 actually whole wheat. The white bread, lightly buttered, the whole wheat, nothing on it. 2 eggs, okay? And 1 egg, it's I want it scrambled. And the other egg, I want it just fried, okay, lightly fried. So she went to the kitchen and prepared exactly what he wanted, okay? And there you go, put it on the table. And she noticed that there's a very sour look on his face. And she said, honey, anything wrong? I just prepare the way that you want. And he said, you scrambled the wrong egg. That's what he said. You scrambled, that's the kind of person you are. He kept complaining, constantly complaining. Now the second type of person regarding the Thanksgiving is the fact that, you know what? He never say thank. You open a door for them. Have you ever opened a door for your wife? Have you ever done that? Did she say thank you to you? Yeah, there you go. But when I open the door, he just walked through. There's not a word of appreciation. No, thank you. That's the second type of person. The third kind of person, they only thank God for the obvious blessing. For the obvious blessing. I just passed my exam. Oh, I had a beautiful girlfriend. I just got promoted. All right? And I thank God for that. They only thank God for the obvious blessing. But the last type, and I want you to focus, that is the constant awareness of God's presence, is the fact that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, thank God in everything, in all circumstances, everything. Now that's including the things that is not pleasing to you, okay? Have you ever thanked God for the pain that you suffered? How many actually thank God, thank you for giving the pain that you gave me? Have you? You know what? Paul, okay? Paul suffered from a thorn. He had a thorn in his body, okay? The reason why he has a thorn in his body is the fact that he had an experience in a paradise and he heard some inexpressible voice that is more than he can understand. So he could be very proud about that experience. And then he, you know how many times he prayed to God to take that thorn away from his body? You know how many times? 3 times. He asked God, God, can you take off those thorn away from me? But God did not take away the thorn. And you know what God said? God said, my grace is sufficient to you, that my power become complete in the weakness of mankind. So when you are weak, then I am strong. Okay? Now this is extreme. Oh, by the way, while during the sermon, I appreciate that there's no conversation, please. Is that okay? There's no conversation. I appreciate. And in extreme, this is a worship of God. If you don't pay attention to God, you're not paying respect to you. There's no chit-chatting or conversation. Okay? Does that make sense? Thank you very much. Okay? It's the same idea. You play with your cell phone, you may as well get out of the chapel. Play your cell phone outside to the parking lot. Don't sit here. Okay? This is important. All right? Now, the most frightening word from the Bible, okay? I'm going to ask you to read this Bible verse for us, okay? The worship is actually enjoying the presence of God. Let's read Exodus chapter 33, verse 1 to 3. All together, okay? Loud and clear. 1, 2, 3. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. Now notice that this is about the people of Israel. And that Moses, okay, was coming down from Mount Sinai. And what happened to the people of Israel? Because when Moses was up in Mount Sinai, his brother Aaron, now that's background, okay? His brother Aaron led the people to have a revolt against the Almighty God. Now, do you know how many days that Moses was up in Mount Sinai? 40 days. And during that 40 days, okay? Alright? Now, as I said, during that 40 days, Moses, okay, was receiving the Ten Commandments from the Lord. And Aaron said, what happened to that brother? And other people complained. What happened to Moses? During the 40, they don't have any patience in their mind. So Aaron said, okay, all right, each and every one of you, okay, give me your earrings, give me your bracelets, okay? And out of those earrings and bracelets and ornament, they collect together and they actually build up a golden calf, and that become an idolatry. So when Moses came down, he was furious. He saw this golden calf and people dancing naked around the golden calf, and they quickly turned away from God. So the wrath of God coming down, and Moses, you know what he did, eh? He actually destroyed the calf and grind it into pieces and mix with water and ask the Israelite to drink that water, the water of golden calf. And on that particular day, 3,000 Israelites were slain and put to death. And the wrath of God remained in that nation. Okay? And Moses understand the situation, and he actually intercede between God and the judgment, and asking, can you remove my name? He said, can you blot out my name out of the book of life so that the people of Israel can be saved? But God said, it's okay, we're not going to do that. And then it comes to this passage. Then the Lord said to Moses, you guys leave this. Now this is Mount Sinai right here. Leave Mount Sinai, you and the people brought up upon Egypt, and go up to the land I promised. So God gave them the promise. You can enter the land. Okay, it's okay. God gave the promise. And the second one is, I will send an angel to escort, and I will actually kick out all the people, the Jebusite, the Perizzite, okay, everyone out. You'll be entered the land, no problem, with safety, okay? And then the next one is, you will go into the land flowing with milk and honey. I will guarantee that you have food, okay? So three things God gave. Number one, he gave his promise. Number two, he gave his what? He gave his protection. Okay? Number three, he gave his what? He gave his provision. Okay? All right? I just want to give you an example. Let's say Raymond is returning to Hong Kong. I said, you know what? I'll give you a promise that you will arrive at Hong Kong. Promise. The land of Hong Kong will be okay. And then I'll give you two escort, okay? Two escort, bodyguard, to make sure you are protected, okay? And then I'll give you all kinds of food, honey, milk, and you have a good building to live, a condominium, okay? For sure, okay? But you know what? The last statement is said, but I will not go with you. I will not go with you. How many of you will settle with a deal like that? How many of you will settle with a deal like that? That he gave you promise, he gave you protection, he gave you provision, all kinds of things, but he won't give you his presence. How many will settle for that kind of deal? Can I see some hand? But you settle for that kind of deal? You okay with that? That God is not with you, remember. Now, it's almost like when I'm Maureen, I'm your fiance. I'm proposing to you, Maureen. I'm gonna marry you, okay? I'm gonna marry you, but I'll provide you with all the food. I'll give you a condominium, everything, but we're gonna live in a separate bedroom. Is that okay with you? That's a good. I like that. God will change his mind because of the mercy and love. Very good. But anyway, at this moment, God said, I won't go with you. It's almost like a man married with a wife, okay? He provided with all his food, he provided a table, everything, a condominium to live. And he actually gave her a bodyguard to make sure she's safe. But one thing for her, this husband is living in a separate bedroom with a wife. Is that a good marriage? Is that a happy marriage, by the way? Do you consider that a happy marriage? No, you got safety, you got food, you got protection, everything, okay? You got promise, but your husband is not with you. He's not there. I won't go with you. Worship is to enjoy the presence of God. And I'm going to ask you, okay? I'm going to ask you, you should settle, we don't need anything more, but we should not settle for anything less, okay? Now, there are many Christians that they actually preoccupy with God's promise. They preoccupy with God's protection. They preoccupy with God's provision. But they totally ignore God's presence in their life. It's almost like, I remember I was a counselor in a youth fellowship, and one of the youngsters said, "You know what, Brother Phil, I'm quite sure I will be going to heaven, okay, when I die. And if you ask me, will you be going to heaven?" Actually, this is another question I'm going to ask you. How many of you are 100% sure after you pass away from this planet Earth, you'll be going to heaven? Can I see some hand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Not more than half. Not more than half of the congregation. You're not even sure. But he said, "I'm not even sure." Okay? Sometimes, you know what? If you actually believe in his protection, you believe in his promise, you believe in his provision, but you don't even believe in his presence, you almost like you guarantee that you have a boarding pass to heaven, okay? But I can guarantee you that you're only sitting on a second class in the plane. Second class. And I'm not going to settle for second class. Okay? I want to tell you, and this is an experience I had a couple of months ago. A couple of months ago, one of my relatives, who suffered from lymphoma in Sunnybrook Hospital, and she was in her dying bed. Okay? But she was conscious. She was conscious. So I whispered to her ear, I said, "Do you believe Jesus Christ shed his blood and cleansed your sin?" She said, "Yes, I believe." And I said, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?" And she said, "Yes, I believe." Now that's about half an hour, okay, before she died. And she had suddenly regain his consciousness, and she understand everything I said, okay? And then this is important. And she said, "I want someone to be present as I cross that line of eternity. I want someone to be present as I walking crossed the line of eternity." And she wants someone to be there with her. And in the Sunnybrook Hospital, in a dying bed, that's in the intensive care unit, there are 14 people. This is over 20 now here. But there are 14 people inside that room praying. Okay, they have her grandchildren, her relatives, her close friends all around her. But I noticed that none of these 14 people can accompany her to cross that line of eternity, except who? Except the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to warn you right now, before you cross that line of eternity to go to hell or heaven, I don't know, because you don't. I'm not quite sure whether you believe in Jesus or not, okay? But one thing for sure, I want that individual, Jesus Christ, accompany you, okay? To be present with you, to walk across into eternity. That 14 person is still alive. That 14 person is still alive, by the way. That 14 person. And they did not walk across that line of eternity except Jesus Christ. And he is present with us. Okay? And how many of you, this is important, how many of you actually like the fact that Jesus Christ will walk with you across that line of eternity? How many of you like that? Can I see some hand? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. This is what the presence of God is all about. Okay? We don't worship his presence, his promise. We don't worship his provision. We don't worship his protection. No, those are secondary. Okay, we need more than that. Actually, we should settle as the fact that his presence, with his presence, is nothing more than that. Okay? Hello? 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 What are you reading? Yeah, are you reading the Bible? Eh? Okay. If you're reading the Bible, that's fine, okay? Otherwise, you're creating a very great big distraction. All right? Thank you very much. It's important. Now, by the way, the reason I want you to focus is the presence of God. Is when you worship God, your eyes, your mind, your thoughts, your entire body is on the offering. It's like a living sacrifice that you actually love God only with your mind, with your heart, and your soul, and your spirit. And that is the worship of God. But there are things that actually prevent us from loving God. The very first thing I want you to understand, what kind of attitude brings us to the presence of God? I'm going to ask you to read that together. Okay, 1, 2, 3. The Lord said to Moses, go down, because you people whom you brought out of Egypt have come corrupt. They have gone quick to turn away from what I commanded them. The first hurdle that prevents you having the presence of God is a quick turn away from God. And this is the first thing. What is the thing? What action brings us to the presence of God? We have to avoid deliberate disobedience. What is a deliberate disobedience? The fact that you know it's wrong, you carry on turning away from God. So the people of Israel, they understand that they turn away from God, but they do it anyway. It's a deliberate disobedience. Now, I'm still a counselor of a drug addict program, okay? It's a rehab program. And one of the youngsters came to me and said that, you know what? I have confessed Jesus as my Savior for 2 years, but he is never real to me. He's not real. He's far away from me. What happened? I'm not quite sure. Why? Why is he so far away from me? And then I asked this youngster, I said, do you have any unconfessed and repetitive sin in your life? I asked him, whisper to his ear, do you have any unconfessed and repetitive sin in your life? And he kind of, and then he said, Brother Phil, yes, I do. I said, what is it? He said, I already quit my drug, okay? He took marijuana and all these ketamine and everything. He already off the addiction, but in that rehab program, it's actually forbidden, okay? It's forbidden to smoke. And he said he hid 2 packs of cigarettes underneath his pillow, and he's still smoking. And so because of that smoking, he's not aware of his presence anymore. Now, I'm going to ask yourself some question. Is there anything that in your life that is being a hurdle, that's being a deliberate disobedience, okay? And he said, I'm not even sure I'm saved, okay? He's not even sure I'm saved. And I said to him, well, I'm not the one who's telling the fact that you're saved. I have no authority to tell you you're saved. But in 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, now remember, 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, it said, okay, the Holy Spirit prove to us that we are in God and God is in us. Let me repeat, okay? The Holy Spirit prove to us that we are in God and God is with us. And the same companion verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, okay, listen to this. The Holy Spirit and your own spirit, okay, testify that we are children of God. See, I have no authority to tell you whether you're saved or not. No. But it's only the Holy Spirit, okay, who can testify that you and I, okay, are the children of God. Pastor Daniel have no authority to tell you that you're saved or not. Ruby cannot tell you whether you're saved or not. It's only the Holy Spirit, okay, can tell you that you're saved or not. But because he can't testify that you're the children of God. And you're going to ask Brother Phil, what is the Holy Spirit has to do with God's presence? What does Holy Spirit have to do with God's presence? I'm going to tell you. If you're willingly, knowingly, with your eyes open, deliberately disobey God, you will grieve. You will grieve the Holy Spirit. You will grieve. So I want to ask you to read chapter Ephesians chapter 4:30, okay? Together. 1, 2, 3. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit God, which whom you will seal for day of redemption. Do you know what the word grief means? Okay? Grief is a love word. Okay? It's only your children could grieve you. Okay? Your neighbor's children will not grieve you. If they fail the exam, you don't really care. But if your own children fail the exam, you have to grieve, because that is love. Okay? Now, after you grieve the Holy Spirit, what happens is the fact that the fact that you will cleanse the Spirit. Okay? Let's read that 1 Thessalonians 5:19 together. 1, 2, 3. Do not quench the Spirit. Now, when you grieve and quench the Spirit, you actually depart from the presence of God. All right? God is no longer real to you. And this is an extremely important example. The Holy Spirit is more like a gentle dove and a glowing ember. Okay? If you openly, willingly, deliberately disobey God, right? You will actually scare away the dove. You will pour water into the fire. The Holy Spirit will no longer presence and be real to you. Now that, you'll kick away the presence of God. He's no longer real to you anymore. Okay, what action it brings to God's presence? And this is one of the key words I want you to understand. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Whoever has my command, keeps them, is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and manifest myself to them. The only way, now this is a key word I want you to remember, the only way to guarantee the presence of God to you and to me is to keep his commandment. Okay, you can actually stand in front of the church and say, I love God, and you sing the song, I love God, but you never keep his commandment. I'm going to guarantee you, he will not manifest himself to you. He will not be at present with you anymore. You can just keep singing the song, you can read the Bible, okay, you can offer lots of money to the church, that's okay, it's good, those are good things, but you don't keep his commandment, sorry. God, Jesus will not manifest himself to you. The next action, okay, they have made themselves an idol, okay? Then the second thing is, you said, well, I'm not guilty of idolatry. I don't worship idol. But listen to this. What is an idol? That could be a golden calf in your life, okay? Beware of a divided devotion, okay? I'm going to ask you to read this question, these words together. 1, 2, 3. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, Israel. Okay? So there's an idol and they bow down to it. Okay? And what is an idol? An idol is anything that you love more than God. What is an idol? An idol is anything you actually serve more than God. What is an idol? It's anything you fear more than God. What is an idol? In other words, anything that you trust more than God. So early in the morning, the very first thing comes to your mind, okay? At late time, the very last thing that comes to your mind before you go to bed, and that particular thing, it's either your God or your idol. Make sense? Now let me repeat, okay? When you wake up in the morning, the very first thing, okay? The very first thing that comes to your mind, alright, that could be either your God or your idol. And the very last thing you go to bed, that in your mind, that you meditate, think about all the time. You know, a lot of people, they think about making money. A lot of people, they think about their own girlfriend, the boyfriend. They think about their job. But gradually, that could be their idol, okay? So, the second thing is, if any golden calf in your life, that will be a hurdle to be God's presence. Okay, The third thing is you have to combat displaced dependence. Now that really means is the fact that we thank the wrong person. Remember the 10 lepers, okay? How many lepers come back to thank God? Do you know how many come back to thank God? Hey, just one. Yeah. And the rest of the 9, they went all together and they did never come back to thank Jesus. And Jesus said, how come there's only one come back to thank me? Now remember, by thanking God, you mean you're giving all your success, all your victory, all your glory back to God. Back to God. And I want you to keep the mind of thanksgiving. Okay? Do not have a displaced dependence. If you're dependent on the wrong thing, you thank the wrong person, you're putting the glory and giving the glory back, not to the Lord, but to someone else. You know what happened to that leper at the end? Do you know what happened to him? Jesus said, your sin is forgiven. Actually, the rest of the 9 people, they are not Samaritan. Okay, Jesus actually think that he is become the children of God. He's a Samaritan, okay? But the fact that because he's thanking God, he put his dependence on Jesus. And the last but not the least, okay, it's almost time. Okay, I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now, this is important, okay? You know what a stiff neck means? A stiff neck means stubborn, basically stubborn, okay? The opposite of being stiff-necked is meek, humble, and pliable. Think about a horse, okay, a horse. If you actually cover his eyes, he'll go straight. He never really turn his back unless you pull the string, you know, the string on the lips, okay? A horse is having a stiff neck. So has God, okay, ever put an impulse in your mind to share the gospel to your loved one, to your relatives, and to your friends, but you refuse to do so? Has God ever put an impulse that you should reconcile and apologize to someone, but you refuse to do it? Has God ever put a prompting in your mind that you should actually discontinue a wrong relationship with a young girl or with a young boy, and you refuse to do so? Have God ever put an impulse, a prompting in your mind that you should actually quit certain type of bad habit, you refuse to do so? If you carry on, refuse to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you are being a stiff-necked people. And no wonder you cannot enjoy the presence of God. Discern, determine, defiance. Okay? So let's have a little bit of summary today before we finish. The reaction of God's absence is a fact that, let's read it together, 1, 2, 3. When the people heard these disastrous words, they mourned and no one put on their ornaments. When they know that God's not going with them, God does not go with them. So they all cried. They're not happy, okay? They cannot settle for his promise. They cannot settle for his provision. They cannot settle for his protection. They only settle for his presence. They all cried. Okay, I'm going to ask you to read loud and clear with me, one together. When the people heard these disasters, they mourned and no one put on his ornaments. And this, worship is enjoying the presence of God. Number one, okay, avoid deliberate disobedience. Okay, if you disobey God, you're actually grieving the Holy Spirit. You're quenching the Holy Spirit. Secondly, beware of divine devotion. Is there any golden calf in your life? Is there any idol in your life? What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you wake up? What is the last thing come to your mind when before you go to bed? Those could be either your God or your idol. The last one, combat displaced dependence. Have you ever thanked God that you're supposed to give glory to him instead of giving glory to yourself or glory to someone else? The last but not the least, okay? Discern, determine, defiance. Are you being stiff-necked? That means, are you being stubborn? Okay? Are you refusing to quit your bad habit? Are you refusing to discontinue certain relationship that you're not supposed to be in. Okay, this is very important. And that's how you bring the presence of God. I don't want you to only settle to be a second class boarding pass, go to heaven. I don't want you to just go to heaven and know the fact that God is not going with you. When you go back to Hong Kong, I want Raymond, you have God's presence with you. Is that a good deal? The best deal? Okay. I'm going back to Hong Kong in November, by the way. I'm not only asking for his protection. I'm not only for his provision. Not only his promise. No. Those are not important. I'm asking for his presence. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I dedicate and offer the entire church of Mississauga Christ Life Community Church unto you. And we realize our worship is not just singing songs. Our worship is not just reading the Bible. Our worship, it is not just offering money. No, that we are way more than that. We are not settled for just the promise. We're not settled for just for the provision. We're not settled for just for the protection. No. We don't go for that. Father, we're asking you the fact that we enjoy your presence. We constantly enjoy your presence. If anyone find that you have anything that you want to confess to the Lord, you should confess to the Lord right now. And if you want to share the gospel to your loved one, but you refuse to do so, when you go home, you go to your schoolyard, you go to your working place, you start to share the gospel. If anyone have to discontinue certain wrong relationship, you should do it now. If you want to apologize to someone you have offended, do it right away. Don't be a stiff-necked people, because God's wrath is coming upon you. And we realize this is exactly what worship is all about. Worship is enjoying the presence of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.